and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The first lettuce is let us draw near. The Bible says it is good to draw near to God. It is good to draw near to God. We were just speaking with Dave a few moments ago about a friend of his working in the emergency department for a while. I worked there for 10 years and saw some very impressive things, some great acts of heroism, some very sad aspects of human nature, and some things to learn by. There was a young man who was brought in one evening. He had a fatal gunshot injury. We're unable to do anything for him. He was essentially dead when he arrived. But it was with sadness that I looked over his chart to see the previous admissions that he had had, and these were what they were. 4 years before he had come in for the final time, he came in with a stab wound of his left upper arm. 3 years before, he had come in to be treated for a superficial gunshot wound of the left chest. Just a few months before this final episode, he came in to be treated for a social disease, and then finally he came in for a fatal gunshot wound. Here was a man who had not drawn near to God, and when you saw the previous 4 admissions that he had had, you'd almost say it's inevitable that something very major is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. The Bible says it is good to draw near to God. We'd like to have a little bit of singing along with our speaking this evening. And the Lord says we should teach and admonish each other through songs and psalms and spiritual songs, and that's what we'd like to do here. To draw near to the Lord. But you know, there was a man that we read about in the Word of God. And he drew near to God, and something amazing happened. He was riding on a cart next to the Ark of God. And you remember the story, the oxen stumbled, and the ark looked like it was going to fall off, and he went to touch the ark to draw near, and he was struck dead immediately. Well, now, why does the Bible say it is good to draw near to God, and yet when this man did, he was struck dead? Well, the Bible tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Well, then how can we draw near to God? Well, we have to go back farther in our chapter here, and let us briefly do that. Verse 11 of Hebrews 10. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So there had to be a sacrifice to take away our sin. And I think each one of us here on a Sunday evening would know this story, and thank the Lord it is true. But we must remind ourselves of it, that before we can draw near to God, we must have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We must have accepted him as our Savior, or else we cannot draw near without judgment falling upon us. So yes, it is good to draw near, but there first must be a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice of Christ. We must accept him as our Savior. And then verse 17 says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Then verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So it is good to draw near to God. And there are four things that are mentioned here in this verse as to how we should draw near. It says we should draw near with a true heart. We have two cats at home, and cats are cats. And they're friendly when they want to be friendly, and if they don't care to be friendly, well, they aren't friendly. But we've noticed something about our cats. You know, most of the time they'll go their own sweet way, but there are times when they'll come up and they'll start rubbing up against us and purring like crazy and rubbing some more, and then we'll think, and well, oh, I guess we didn't feed them yet. So then we'll go get their food and we'll feed them, and then they'll forget all about us until they get hungry again. Well, that's drawing near to us, but not with a true heart, is it? They've got ulterior motives. We should draw near to the Lord with a true heart, not just when we're in dire circumstances, but just because we love him. Just because our hearts are drawn to his, because we love him. Yes, it is good to draw near to God, but not just when we need something. Draw near with a true heart. There were people who drew near to the Lord in the that we read about in the scriptures. There are people who came, the Lord says, I know why you're here. You're not here to... I says, I know why you're here. You're here because I fed you. I gave you loaves and fishes to eat. And you're back again. They were drawing near, but not with a true heart. There were the Pharisees who drew near, but they drew near to trick him. Judas drew near, and his drawing near was to betray him. It is good to draw near to God. Let us draw near with a true heart. And then the next point he mentions here is draw near with full assurance of faith. 2 Timothy 1:12 we read, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We can draw near with full assurance of faith. And isn't that far, far better than drawing near with good works? Because we can have full assurance of faith in what he has done. Perhaps you read the story about Ivan McGuire in Lewisburg, North Carolina, in April of this year. A man with some 800 jumps behind him. His aim in life was to be the world's best photographer of jumps. Very, very skilled parachutist. And he jumped, took his pictures, and went to pull the cord, the rip cord, and found he had forgotten to put on his parachute. 10,000 feet he jumped out of the plane, forgot his parachute. Well, that's what's so nice about trusting in the finished work of Christ. We can draw near with full assurance of faith. We haven't forgotten a thing. We're on the doorstep of heaven, and we can come right in with boldness because we are trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I believe strongly in seatbelts. Working in emergency medicine, I see a lot of the effects of people not wearing seatbelts. But one of the bad things about seatbelts is you've got to remember it every time. I've had people in the emergency department say, I always remember it, today I forgot it. Well, that's what's nice about drawing near with full assurance of faith in Christ, is that He has done the work, it is finished, and we don't have to worry about a thing. The Lord calls us home, we are safe in Him. And while we are here on earth, we can draw near with full assurance of faith, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we come to Him in prayer in full assurance of faith. And then the third point that he mentions, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And that word, having our hearts, that word sprinkled, is a verb that means it's already done. I come because I have already accepted Christ as my Savior. I have taken advantage of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in my life. This is already accomplished, and therefore I come into His presence. And that is so reassuring too, because when our hearts are sprinkled with the blood of Christ, there's going to be no question about when we're in heaven, should I really be here? I wonder if God knows about that episode. No, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I remember one time my father led a person to the Lord. From one of the major religions, she had been a follower of one of the major religions in the States. And when the religious leader of her church found out that she had accepted Christ, he was very unhappy about it. And she said, "Well, you talk to Mr. Logan about it." My father was a very, very wonderful Christian, a fine man who knew the Lord, as I mentioned this morning. He only had an 8th grade education, but he met with this man, a highly educated man in his field. And they got talking about trusting the Lord as Savior. And it turned out there were two religious leaders that had gotten together to debate Father. And at one point it became evident that these two men were not trusting in the finished work of Christ for their salvation. The father said to them, "Well, tell me, how many sins did Christ die for?" And the one leader turned to the other and says, "Help me out with my theology. Just what sins were they that the Lord Jesus died for?" And as they sat there trying to figure out the sins that Christ had died for, father just sat there and thanked the Lord that he knew Christ as Savior. And then he said, "You know, I'll tell you how many sins Christ died for. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." On December 31st of 1986, a fire broke out in a hotel in San Juan, Puerto Rico. It soon roared through the, it started on the first floor, as I remember, it soon roared through the building. I believe there are some 90 people who died through that as the inferno went through the building. There was a man who distinguished himself as a hero. And he made his way up, as others did, to the top of the building where helicopters came and took them off the roof of the building. I think there's something like some 35 stories. And transported them to safety. And he really distinguished himself in saving others. And he was considered a hero. Until it was found out that he was one of the two men who had started the fire on purpose. And then he wasn't a hero anymore. When we get into the presence of God in heaven, we're not going to have to worry, "I wonder if he knows about the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Yes, it is good to draw near to God when we have trusted Christ as our Savior. I would anticipate that most who would come out on a Sunday evening would know the Lord as Savior. But let me just pause and not take that for granted, because this is a specific choice we have to make of accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. My parents were missionaries who gave their lives for God, but that had no effect on getting me to heaven, except that they taught me about the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to accept him as my own personal Savior. And we just like to sing a song that brings out this point, that it is a choice.
Out the mountains from the distant past, more than a man from the mind. Pray,
I am the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwill. Control the planets with their rocks and hills. I give you freedom to use your own will.
I hold the water in my mighty hand, spread out the heavens with a single fan, make all creation tremble at my voice, but my own sons come to me by choice.
I own the cattle on a thousand hills, I write the music for the whippoorwill.
The planets
with their rocks and rails, but
give you
freedom to use your own will.
Even the action of the master soul, and sheep will recognize the shepherd's call. I keep you mentioned of my empty cars, but any railing of it with the past.
I own the cattle on a thousand hills.
Control
the planets with their rocks and rails, but give you freedom to use your own will. And if you want me to, I'll make you whole. I'll only do it though if you say so. I'll never force you, for I love you so. I give you freedom, is it yes or no? I give you freedom, is it yes?
So the Lord does give us freedom to choose, and when we have chosen to go his route, to make him Lord of our lives, Lord and Savior of our lives, then we can draw near. And then there's a final comment here in this verse of how we should draw near. We can draw near with a true heart, we should, with full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, isn't that sort of a unnecessary repetition? We've already talked about having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Christ. But as we walk here on earth, we get dirty by the world, and we need our bodies washed with pure water. The Lord is, we read in the Word of God, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As is obvious, we love singing. And the Lord enjoys singing. But let me read some verses in Amos 5 that says, "Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments, but let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream." Amos 5, 23 and 24. So even in the field of music, the Lord wants singing music only as we seek to live lives that are pleasing to him. And of course, this is a mistake that people have made, well-known people in this land on TV, and who have brought much sorrow to the name of Christ, much dishonor, because of missing this important point. Go on singing anyway. No, God wants righteousness. And my brothers and sisters, daily, let us spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Draw close to him, that our body is washed with pure water. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, we read about the washing of the water by the Word. And in a busy life, it's easy to start letting things like that go, spending time in the Word. But again, a reminder, something we all know, spend time in the Word.